Hey guys, I want you to do something special for me today. I want you to pray for our online church. How many do we have on this morning, Jacob? Nine people on the online church. I think Sunday before last we had 10. So these are people from other areas. We have people that listen to us from San Diego, from Oklahoma, from Texas. Where else? We got people, Phoenix, Colorado, yeah. So that's good. You know, we want the Word of God to go out. They can't be here physically. Guess what? We can go reach them by the Word of God. You know, it's important. So that's why we wear all of this and do the thing. We're not thinking about ourselves only. That's the thing that's important. There are souls out there that need the Word of God. It's as simple as that. They need the Word of God. I'm thinking about that song we sang this morning. I know some of you get up there and say, I keep my voice real low. I don't want anybody to hear me. Or I'm not going to sing at all, what some of you say. But here's the thing. That song came from Psalms 51. And Ernest alluded to it a little bit earlier. Remember King David? I know all of you know about David and Goliath, things like that. When David became king and so forth, David messed up. He messed up big time. He had he committed adultery, and the woman he committed adultery with, Bathsheba, he had her husband put in the front lines during a war to have him killed so he can try to cover it up. She became pregnant, and so really she's the child. David prayed. God told him. He sent a prophet to him, didn't he? And the prophet told him a parable, a story. He said, yeah, there's this man that had, you know, sheep, ewe lamb is what they called it, you know. And what happened was somebody else came and took, he only had one, and somebody that had many came and took that ewe lamb away from him. And so David gets wroth. He says, who is this man that did this? He said, we're going to punish him. He said, we'll kill him. We'll do this. We'll do that. And the prophet had to stop and tell him what? Thou art the man. You took another man's wife and got her pregnant. And you're supposed to be the king. You're supposed to be the one that loves God. But does that show us the frailty of being in this and having carnality work in this? Sometimes we can be walking along with God ever so well, and then a thought will come out of nowhere. Ezekiel 38 and 10. You can go read it. It says that. It says it comes out of nowhere, an evil thought, and you'll do something that you shouldn't do. God knows this, doesn't he? He knows that. Sometimes we withdraw from God. We don't trust God anymore. We go our own way. We do our own thing. This way or that way? I'll let Ernest adjust me here. I'll keep talking. But one of the things that we need to understand is that when that happens, we still have to hold on to God. You know, we should still stay up with God. Because the thing is, and who said it this morning? Was it Gary? And you said it too. The devil is trying to separate us. That's his big game. He's trying to separate us. If I can separate you, it's like those, you've seen those animal shows on TV, you know, herd of wildebeests or whatever, and they know when that migration happens, and they know that calves are going to be born during that time, right? So what do all the lions and the cheetahs and the leopards and all of them do? They wait as this migration comes by, and they wait to see that little child that's been born wander off. Easy pickings, huh? And then they get them. You know, they know this. Well, what do you think the devil does? If an animal knows that, what do you think the devil does? That's why when you don't separate yourself from God. Don't think that God does not hear you. He does hear you. Don't go to a place where you say, well, I don't trust God. You know, the reason you don't trust him because you've had things that happen in this world and you had an expectation about how they were supposed to go, and it didn't go that way, so then you shake your fist at God. That's God's not the one that did it. You had an expectation about a certain thing that you wanted to work out a certain way. That's here now I'm talking about. And when it didn't come to pass, you were busted and disgusted. Where do you think depression comes from? Unfulfilled expectations. You have an expectation that your life is going to go right, or this person that you're with is the right one for you, or your child is going to do this, or your friend is going to do this. He's always going to be a friend. He'll never turn his back on you. You think, and then those things actually happen. and your expectation is busted and disgusted, you know? And that's where depression comes from. Your expectation did not come to pass. Well, whose expectation was it? Yours. What is the expectation of God? The expectation of God said, I know the thoughts I have toward you. Thoughts of good and not evil. To bring you to what? An expected end. God has a different end for us than we have for ourselves. So that song talks about David, all of that sin that he did. And he said, we need to kill that guy. And the prophet told him, thou art the man. You're a king. You didn't have to go take another man's wife or anything like that. You had plenty. I don't know how many wives and concubines David had, but it was a lot more than one. But he went after somebody else's. And God brought that prophet to him to tell him. And the words that we sang in that song this morning, he said, Lord, I know I messed up. He starts off saying this, against thee and thee alone have I sinned. And you say, well, no, he sinned against the husband. He sinned against this. He sinned against the family, whatever. Yeah, but God, he knew that God was the number one thing. He said, I'm supposed to be your servant. I'm supposed to be your king. And I went out and I did that. Felt bad, huh? There's a scripture in the Bible that says that when hope is deferred, the heart becomes sick. That's a good saying. When hope is deferred, put off, the heart becomes sick. You think it's talking about this heart here that beats blood, or is it talking about this heart here where you think, where the issues of life come from? That's what it's talking about. And when that hope is deferred, put off, I hope, and it's not done, you're thinking about it in terms here in this world like a man. You're not thinking of hope being Christ, because that's what it is. I think it's Romans 8:24. It says, hope that is seen is not hope. So you have to believe in the unseen. And people say, well, that's hard for me to do. I have to see something in order to believe. Well, let me tell you something. I said the same thing. Until God started answering prayer and showing me, delivering me from things, bringing grace into my life, doing things that was impossible for me to do because I set my mind to it, couldn't do it. That's the difference between man and God. God can accomplish all things. Man cannot. He does a lot of things. And this is the thing that gets us in trouble. We see man creating this, doing that. We see he can clone people. He can do all kinds of things. Building robots now that look like humans and all kinds of stuff. The things that they do, the computers that are now available, it's amazing. I remember when I used to work on in the Marine Corps, I was a combat air traffic controller. And what we used to do, there used to be the old UNIVAC with the cards punched out, the thing punched out. We thought we were big time. And you had to get all those cards together and punch those little things out, and you feed them in there, and you thought, man, it would do calculations for you and all that stuff. So we could intercept planes. We could intercept the enemy. We could do this, do that. I could look up above my head while I was looking at the radar scope, and I can tell what the plane, how much fuel it had, the ordnance it had, how fast it was going, what type of plane it was. So I could send it for close air support to the guys on the ground that were in trouble. When they screamed into those mics, they were screaming to me so I could get planes there. Whether it was rainy, whether it was dark in the middle of the night, we had instrument flight control, so it didn't make any difference what the conditions were. We could guide by radar and get them to their targets. That was such a great thing. And so when those guys are screaming for help, we'd send them help. Close air support. And when the enemy heard that F-4 Phantom coming close and the thunder from those engines, they start running because they knew what was coming. the ordinance that they think could carry. I'm not going off. I want you to think about something. When we get in trouble, do you know that God is constantly on our side? When the enemy tries to pull us off, or it seems like we're going to be overrun or overwhelmed, God sends us support. Mm. I heard Gary this morning talking about, he said, you know what? Satan thinks he has so much power. He doesn't have any more than what God allows him to have. Do you realize that Satan is a servant of God? If we didn't know what evil was, we'd never know what the good was that God's doing for us. He serves a purpose, but we're not supposed to be his servant. We're supposed to be the servant of God. Catch where I'm going with this. So we've been talking lately about forgiveness, haven't we? A lot about forgiveness. I even left that up there, so this is from last week. But the thing is, two Greek words for forgiveness. And that's not important that you remember Greek words or whatever. But what I like is what each one is developed for, what it does for us. One means a canceling of debt. We were all born in sin and shaped in iniquity. We were. So how are we going to get rid of that sin between us and God? The scripture says your sins and iniquities have separated you from God, right? So how are we going to get rid of that? God said, I'll help you get rid of it. I'll help you get rid of it. Well, what did he do? Well, he said this. He made a body. And you know what that body was? It was Christ. It's in the plan of God. And he said, and I'm going to send this body to you, and it's going to be sacrificed, and it will die in your place, canceling the debt of sin that you owed me. There's a debt for sin. He said, I'll cancel it by giving the blood and the life of my son. Wow, that's pretty powerful. A body thou hast made me, O Lord, I come to do thy will. Lo, it is written of me in the volume of the book. It was prophesied he would come and do that. And he did, died for all humanity. So he canceled the debt. Now we can approach the throne of grace boldly and say, Lord, save me. Well, does that mean that we still don't take on sin? We do it every day sometimes in a thought or whatever. We're still taking on sin. Even though Jesus forgave sin, died for sin, what we did, we listened to a voice, Satan, that continually works and opposes God, and we took on more sin, didn't we? But what does God say about that? That blood that Christ shed goes back and gets everything in the past, gets everything right now, gets anything you'll ever do in the future. That's a special blood. And that forgiveness works. It worked for me. Some of the things I did, like I tell people all the time, I should be under prison, some of the things that I did. But God had grace, and he brought grace to me. So he canceled my debt, okay? Then the second word for forgiveness is aphiemi. And what that is, to let something go. Man, do some of us need to let stuff go. Don't we need to let it go? We need to let it go between us and somebody else. We need to let it go when we don't even forgive ourselves. You need to let it go. I did so bad. I did so many things wrong. Yeah. All of us did. Didn't we, Tim? We all did things wrong. We all did things I messed up. I did things wrong. God's saying, let it go. That's what I sent my son for. That's what forgiveness is all about. So the two aspects of forgiveness is canceling the debt and letting it go. Let it go, even for yourself. First person you need to learn how to forgive is yourself. We've all had wicked thoughts, haven't we? Anybody that has not had one, I'm gonna tell you to raise your hand, then I'm gonna call you a liar. Every one of us has had wicked thoughts. And people say, oh, not you, Pastor Ken. I was the king of wicked thoughts. I had a lot of wicked, you know, I think about that. It's funny, God has a sense of humor. If you talk to my friends that I was in the Marine Corps with, they used to tell people I was the ringleader for doing wrong. They all knew that. They said, you want to know how to do wrong? Want to have some fun? Go along with Kenny. We're going to do this. We'll do it wrong. You know. And then when Lord got a hold of me and I started changing, and they thought I was doing a trick on them. Said, no, he's trying to pull us in so he can smash us. You know what I mean? You know, because I was the guy in charge. I was the staff sergeant. I was the guy that had the power over everybody in that squadron. So I could do that. I could point and say, do this and do that. And they had to do it. That was pretty powerful. But then I changed. God changed me. He changed my thoughts. He changed my mind. I cried out to him one night in the barracks, tears streaming down my face. I didn't want to live my life the way I was continuing to live it. I was heading into some things I didn't need to head into, alcoholism, drugs, whatever. But I cried out to God. I said, stop me, help me, help me, stop me, stop me. And didn't hear nothing after the prayer. Didn't hear a word. No miraculous breaking of the atmosphere, somebody talking to me or anything like that. Nothing like that happened. But the prayer was sincere. I actually prayed amiss, but I didn't know that then. God knew the intent of my heart. He just knew I needed help, and that's what I was asking for. Within 30 days, and I can tell you when that was. That was April 1st, April Fool's Day, 1970. By the end of that month, no drinking, no fighting anymore, no drugs, no nothing. Everything stopped within that 30 days. So I say to people all the time, I said, try God. Don't put your thoughts ahead of God. Acquiesce. Bring yourself to a place where you're at peace, where you think, you meditate, and ask God to start talking to you. Simple. You know how he's going to talk to you? Through your thoughts. Because that's how he started talking to me. It's through my thoughts. I started having an issue with thoughts that wanted to do right and thoughts that wanted to do wrong. Sometimes the ones that wanted to do wrong won out. Because that's what I was used to, right? But then things started happening and the thoughts that wanted to do good started building. And more, and building more, and building more. I'm just bringing this down to brass tacks. This is what happens. So, I talked about forgiveness. We talked about forgiveness among one another. Husbands have to forgive wives. Wives have to forgive husbands. Parents have to forgive children. Children have to forgive parents. All of us came from somewhere. We have to have forgiveness working in our life. When we do, it'll bring us peace. You don't have peace? You have a lot of voices working in your head? Are you tormented about different things? Are you messed up in your mind and thought about different things? Well, some places you think to yourself, say, why do I have hatred? Why do I get angry like this? Why do I do this? Why do I do that? What if I told you that this is a big war and that this is opposition coming against you because really within you, you want to do right? I've been there, so I can talk this way. You really want to do the right, you want to change. So what do? We start changing ourselves. From our human self, carnal self, we start to, I'm not going to do this anymore, I'm not going to do this anymore, I'm not going to do this anymore. That's not what happened to me in that barracks, by the way. I didn't suddenly say to myself, well, I'm not going to do it anymore. I still had the same urges. And the guys would come to, hey, Sarge, you ready to go? We're going to go down, get in the car, we're going to go out and mess up. We're going to do what we're going to do. But slowly, and so I said, no, I don't want to go. I said, what's wrong with him? Is he sick? I don't want to go. I don't feel like going. You know, things like that. God did that for me. But what we have a tendency to do is that we make a laundry list. And we say, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to do that anymore. Hey, you know what? People have found out for years that don't work. Every New Year's Eve, they make a resolution. They take it maybe within a month, 2 months, 3 months, you are back doing the same thing, aren't you? You made the rule. You're the one that said, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not doing that. And then you find out you're not committed. You aren't, are you? You say, that's no big deal. Let me just go back to doing what I was doing. That's what the mind comes to in settlement. Okay? But this is what God is telling us now. Forgiveness is the key. What did he die for? To forgive our sins. So why are you beating yourself up for when you sin? If he already died for that, all you have to do is, and now I have another word up here about we're going to finish up another part of forgiveness. It's called repentance. When you repent of something, that means you change your mind and your thought. But not just you, it's the Spirit of God working with you to change your mind and your thought. There's a difference. So I'm going to read something to you here. This is cool. Luke 17, 3 and 4. Listen to this. I like the Old English sometimes in the King James. It says, take heed to yourselves. That means pay attention. Take heed. Look. Look out for what's going on, this imagery in your mind. It's really saying, watch how you think. Take heed. Watch how you're thinking. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. Wait. Do you know we had the power to do that? If your brother trespasses against you, you can rebuke him. But does that mean that you have to rebuke him in hatred or in anger or in it? No. Just tell him the word of God. Say, hey, that's not right, dude. You know, I'm your brother. I love you. Hey, let's work this thing out together and offer some help. A lot of times what we like to do is down a person and then step on them a little bit. That's our nature. Isn't that true? I want to smash them a little bit, Patty. Tread them underfoot. No. Do you realize that you do the same things? You may not do exactly the same thing that caused him to have a problem with you or you had a problem with him, but you do the same things. So what? How would you like somebody to just put their foot on you and do the same thing? It doesn't work that way. So when this brother does something against you and he trespasses against you, you go to him and you say, you know, hey, that's not right. I can rebuke you for this, but the rebuke is not the only thing that happens. It says, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. Puts a semicolon there. It ends the thought, and then it tells you, now, this is the next thought I want you to have. This is the next thought, Sessie. Don't just rebuke him and then walk off. People do that all the time, don't they? I remember my parents used to do that to me. They'd say something to me, you, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and then walk off. Didn't give me a way to work out of it. Is that true, John? Didn't give me any kind of way to work out of it. They just said, you're wrong. Da, 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 da. And then here comes restriction or beating or whatever, what else was going to come, but that's what was going to come, right? No help in it. So what we need to do now is we have to understand that we need to help one another. Didn't the scripture say we're helpers one of another? Didn't it also say, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have what? Love one for another. So in that phase of thinking, doing that, then you will help. So don't just rebuke. Let's move to the next step. If he trespass against thee, rebuke him. If he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, you know what we say? I'm out of patience. Isn't that what we say? Well, what does the scripture say about patience? In your patience possess ye your souls. Does it also say that tribulation worketh patience? In other words, when trouble comes, it's trying to work patience out in you. We don't think that way, do we? We just get upset. We get impatient, and we just say what we're going to say. But what if I told you this trouble that comes in our lives is to make us stronger if we hold on to God? That's the thing that's important. The grace of God comes in and helps us. So yeah, we can rebuke him, but then we have to forgive him. And if he turns around and says, I repent, because we forgave him, I repent, then you accept that repentance. And he says, even if it does it seven times. But then he goes on to say, if he does seven times a day, turn again to thee saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostle said unto the Lord, and I know why they said, Lord, you're going to have to increase our faith if that's how it's going to have to happen. You're going to have to increase our faith so we can do this. That's what it says. Lord, increase our faith. Well, you know what? God's increased my faith. I've been able to forgive people of horrible things they've done to me. But then I think, what horrible things have I done? You see how the scripture talks about judging lest you be judged? God means that. We judge people very quickly, and we judge them from this outward appearance, Ariane. We look at what they do, and we say, psh, that person's this, this, and that. We make a determination based on our own perception and thought. That person may not be that way at all. You just saw them do one thing at there, and you've already changed. You've already discerned in your own judgment by the flesh that this person doesn't even deserve to be your friend, doesn't even deserve to be around you, doesn't even deserve to be saved, doesn't deserve to have anything because what they did offended you. You see what I mean? So we cut them off. Isn't that what we do? Not good. Families have had problems with that, haven't they? Where they cut each other off and they're supposed to be family. But I cut you off because you did this. And don't give a way out. You just cut off. What I'm talking about today, all of you have experience. It's as simple as that. Every one of you. You've experienced to some degree. But this is what God came for. He said, now, let's change that. Let's change that. So repentance contains forgiveness. The word repent means to change one's mind. I'm going to say it a different way. To change how you think. Ah, that's it, isn't it? How you think about everything. Let's change one's mind. I thought about it this way, but that's not working out too good for me. All I have is opposition. There's stuff going, there's confusion, there's strife, contention. I don't have peace. I can't sleep good at night, whatever. So you're doing something wrong. You know you're doing something wrong. Right? If you have to wrestle with your life like that every day and at night too, you know there's something wrong. So let's look at it and let's change it. That's what you have to do. And you don't change it by you setting up a set of rules, saying, well, I won't do this, I won't do that. No, because you're going to fail. What you do, you say, God, enter my life. Let your grace enter me. Here's the thing. He said repentance and forgiveness of sins is going to be among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, right? But he wants every man to repent and to have your sins remitted. Your sins being remitted is what he came for. He nailed that old man of sin on the cross along with him so that you could be free and not be bound by him anymore. Well, who is that? Who really is working with us all the time, helping us to do the wrong thing, make the wrong thing? Do you have many voices working in your head? There are many voices in the world, it says, and none of them are without significance. All of them mean something. So they come in there and they tussle, turn over, you know, they start contention and strife, and it's all right here, isn't it? Well, do you know there's a spirit behind that? Satan doesn't want you to have peace. Forgiveness, last week, what did I say it was? Forgiveness brings peace. It does. It brings peace. No, don't hold anything back on it. Just forgive freely. Just forgive freely. Make walking in forgiveness a part of your life. Let repentance be a part of your life. Be quick to repent, to say, look, I got to change this mind here. Lord, will you help me change this mind? Didn't the scripture say, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus? Doesn't he say about renewing your mind? Sometimes you have to renew your mind because it's so fouled up with all the other stuff. You got to renew it and say, I need a whole new mind. Isn't that what you say to yourself? I know I needed a whole new mind. I had so much junk in me, I needed a new mind. And God gave me a new one. I don't think the way I used to think before. I don't do things the way I did before. More love there, more compassion toward people and whatever. Does that make you a wimp? Or do people receive that and say, oh, I thank God that you didn't hold that against me. I thank God that you came to my help. I thank God that you explained something to me because I was thinking about it wrong. I thank God that there is a God. I thank God that I can be forgiven. I thank God that there's repentance in the world. I can repent. I can change by the glory of God, by the grace of God is what causes that to change. So it's not you making a laundry list. It's not you doing, that's just in your humanness you try to do that, and you're going to fail every time. But what about when you put the Spirit of God in it? That's what this is all about. Repentance contains forgiveness. You change your thought, do you realize that God automatically puts the forgiveness in it because you allowed him to change it, and now you're walking after him and not after self? The forgiveness is automatic. You repented. You wanted to change your mind, didn't you? You couldn't do it yourself, so you asked me to help you. And I did. I came in the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of faith, the Spirit of prophecy, the Spirit of love. All of that came in, and I helped you. The grace that I had helped you. You couldn't do it yourself, but the grace. And I became a what? An intercessor for you. When you had hatred, I interceded and said, let's change this. By the Spirit, let's change the thought you have of hatred. Because you say to yourself, Lord, I can't do it. This is the way I am. Yeah, well, let's change the way you are. Let the grace of God come in. Let me help you change it. And that's what God does. Let me help you change it. So the thing that's important is for us to understand that repentance contains forgiveness. It actually means to have a change of mind, how you think, and you allow God to change that mind. Do you know it says about the heart? You know, we talk about our, oh, people say, oh, he has a good heart. He has a good heart. You know what the Bible says about a heart, our heart? You go to Jeremiah 17 and 9 and read it. It says the heart is deceitful above all things. There's nothing more deceitful than your own heart. It's deceitful above all things. And what does it say after that? And desperately wicked. Who can know it? So people say, I know my own heart. No, you don't. I believe the scripture over you any day of the year. It says you don't even know your own heart. You don't even know the depths of the evil and the wickedness that's in your own heart. Well, people say, we're not talking about this thing beating in your chest. We're talking about the heart of your world, your mind. Isn't that it? From the heart flow the issues of life. Don't we have issues of life, all of us? Things that we have to go through, things that we have to experience. Those are all the issues of life. How we think about them makes all the difference in the world. Do you think about them in hatred and opposition and wanting to do your own thing and nobody's going to tell me what to do and da-da-da-da-da and da-da-da-da-da, all this other stuff? Or do you say, Lord, it's time for me to change. I need to change. I will have more peace and others around me will have more peace. Isn't that true? That's the way it's going to work. If you have turmoil in a household, what's going to bring peace? Forgiveness. Do we offend each other a lot different ways? You think so? Yeah. Yeah. Something we say, expression on our face, something that we do. Sometimes we're like children. I'm going to do this because he did that. And I'm going to do this because she did that. And just set up a trap for them to fall in. You know, some people love to argue. Some love it. Man, they get into it. That's a big thing. I remember when I was in school, I was on a debate team. And most of the debaters were people that liked to argue. I found out real quick I didn't want to stay on the debate team because I'm not an arguer. They argued their point. I argued my point. And usually it was about politics and stuff like that. But then they would become personal. So do we see that today on our TVs? Mm-hmm. It becomes personal. You're not arguing about a point concerning government. You're knocking down that other man, trying to make people think he is not what he says he is. So we try to knock him down, don't we? Isn't that what we do? Don't we see that in the world all around us? God don't want that in the church. He doesn't want it in you. He doesn't want it in your heart. He doesn't want it in your mind. He wants us to be in unity. He wants us to have the same mind and the same thought, serve the same God, walk in the light as he is in the light, follow, be obedient, trust, and love. That's what he wants. Those are the things God wants. So I read you this thing about forgiving. We had this last little part we had to do. Oh, did I exhaust forgiveness? No way. But we talked about some major it's been 3 weeks almost now, I think, we've been talking about forgiveness. If you've missed some of the stuff that we talked about, we got it on our thing. You can go to it and listen to it. I'm glad we have what we have so people can go back and listen. Listen to the things we said about forgiveness and then make it real in your life. You got to make an effort. I don't know if I can forgive. Take a step toward forgiveness. Take one step. That's all you got to do. Because once you take the one, God said, I can take you the rest of the way. I just want to know your will is there, that you want to do it. So you take your will, is your will to get things straight? Then take that step. And God said, I see his will now. Now here I can uphold him. I can let my grace come and do what? Be the intercessor and carry him the rest of the way. That's how you had to do with me. Great, great deal. No paragon of virtue up here. I was much less than a paragon of virtue. but what God did, he changed me though. You know, is he still changing me? Do I have it all? No. Am I still learning? Yeah. Am I going to learn till the day I leave here? Yes. God wants to teach us things. He wants to teach us things. So repentance contains forgiveness. Repentance contains forgiveness. When you want to make that change in thought, ask God to help you. He will. That's all you got to do is say, Lord, I need your help. Boom. Because now you're turning toward him and you're not setting up your own law, your own statutes. You're not doing it from self. Now we're asking God something other than you. And I'm going to tell you now, you're going to run into something where you can't set up your own law about it. It's going to be something so great, you can't handle it. You think you can handle everything. I'm going to tell you now, you're not. There are things that come into our lives and we say, oh my God, how am I ever going to get out of this? It's so strong, it's so hard, it's so deep. And you think you're going to set up your own way to get out of that? No, you have no power over it. But I serve a God that does. He has power over that thing that's so tough you can't handle it. So have any of you ever been in hell? I have. Some people say, how in the world could you be in hell? God allowed me to experience it in my own thoughts, in my own world, whatever. And I said, God, get me out of here. I don't want to be in turmoil and tormented like this all my life. I have to have better thoughts than this. I have to live in peace. I have to have something better than this. So when it becomes so strong, David said it this way, and I'm going to be done. He said, when my heart is overwhelmed. When does it get overwhelmed? When it's too big for you. Uh-huh. Isn't that how it works? He said, my heart was overwhelmed. I didn't know which way to go, what to do, whatever. God, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Who's the rock? It's Jesus. Lead me to you, because I know you can handle it. Can he bear every burden? Yes, he can. Can you bear every burden? No, you can't. Some of them are too heavy for you. But can he bear every burden? Oh, yeah, he can. Strong shoulders, man. Jesus can do it because he's God and he has all power in heaven and earth in his hands. So I'd rather serve that one, huh? Instead of serving self. Isn't that good? Hope you got something out of what we said today. Repentance contains forgiveness. Forgive yourself. Forgive others. Let forgiveness be your walk. Be ready to forgive. Be ready to repent. Whenever you need to have that change of heart and mind, be ready to do it. Walk in a state of readiness to do that. Let's repent from the things that we did wrong. Let's change the mind. Let God change your mind. And you will have more peace. I guarantee you will have peace.